I just really felt this strong impression from God saying, I need you to meet this girl. So I crashed you into her life. And I was like, okay, here I go. And I kind of had that thought as I was getting out of the car.
Hey there, I'm Julie. Welcome to Uncomfy, a podcast about sticking with moments that challenge us. We share the stories of real people in moments that challenge their perspective. And instead of getting angry or shutting down, they stuck with the discomfort. They stayed curious and open, and they're glad they did. We hope these stories inspire you to stick with it too, because there is so much to gain. New empathy, deeper relationships, more clarity about our own views. I'm glad you're here. Now, let's get uncomfy. Here's a story about a car accident and an unlikely friendship. I'm joined by Becca Obeng. She is creator of Becoming Undaunted. It's a project documenting her 100-day journey of doing one uncomfortable thing every day. So she heard the Uncomfy podcast and was like, yeah, I've got lots of stories that I could tell. I'm so glad that she reached out. Becca, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
So we're going to get back to the 100-day thing, but first, tell us a story. Where were you when this moment happened for you?
Yeah, so I had just moved to Orlando. I did not realize that Orlando, Florida had worse traffic than LA. I was very surprised by that. There's so many people that come and visit from other countries, and with that, they're not used to navigating our roads. And so as we were driving, I found myself, even though I'm from, you know, the area, didn't even realize that driving on a simple highway could be so difficult. And I was merging into another lane and didn't see somebody. They were in my blind spot and crashed into their car. I'm a very anxious person. And immediately I felt so like stressed out about that. I was in the car with my mother-in-law and I was driving her car to make even this stressful situation more intense because it wasn't even my own car. It was her car.
So you sideswiped the person in your blind spot as you were trying to change lanes? Okay. So was anybody injured?
Nobody was injured. Yes. Thank goodness. So and I had my three little kids ages like 3 to 6 in the car with us as well. So just nerves were very high. And I looked over and I saw this girl get out and she was not happy. She was pretty heated. She looked really upset. And so I was like, oh my gosh, my heart sank. I felt so horrible. And I remember in that moment just thinking like, I felt this, I believe in God. And I just really felt this strong impression from God saying, I need you to meet this girl. So I crashed you into her life. And I was like, okay, here I go. And I kind of had that thought as I was getting out of the car. Mm-hmm. And as I got out of the car, she was just kind of, just kind of coming at me. I don't want to say things, you know, that were said, but she got out and was really intense and she had a really raised voice and her arms are kind of going all over. And I just remember just being like, are you okay? And she's like, yeah. And she was like, are you okay? And I said, yeah, I have my kids in the back. And when she realized that I had kids in my car, she kind of came down a little bit and realized like, oh my goodness, there's kids involved in this situation. Mm-hmm. And I just remember we were still in a really busy road, just kind of standing there, and she was just getting her frustration out. And I just remember saying, can I give you a hug? And that is normally not the way that I would respond in that situation. But for some reason, I felt like that would be a great idea, is to ask this person who's car I just crashed and who's kind of freaking out at me if I could give them a hug in the middle of a really busy road. And I just remember as we're hugging, people were honking, like just honking the horn. And so I was like, okay, let's just stand over here and let's regroup. Like, how are you doing?
So many things are racing through my mind at this particular moment. And so I want to break this down just a little bit with you. Yeah. So, obviously, like a stick with it moment, as we think about it, involves like a decision point, right? Yeah. It's a decision to do the even more. This is a fundamentally uncomfortable, unpleasant moment to be in where you are at fault, you've caused harm to someone, it's very public, the emotions are high, and there's also the racing heart of like, oh my gosh, car crash, right? What was the decision? Can you break down for me or identify some of the moments where you like chose to kind of lean into that discomfort just a little bit further?
Yeah, I think for me, like, it was really helpful. Like I had mentioned about the situation with my mother-in-law, it was really comforting to me where she was like, it's okay, we're safe. That was the very first thing that she said to me. And I think that mentally that was something for me to say, like she's okay. Like, I'm okay. I'm safe. We're safe. And it seemed like the other person was safe. And so I felt like being able to understand, even though what was going on was unpleasant, there was that element of safety. And I felt like that safety really helped me be able to then get out of the car and take a deep breath to take that next step, to even just talk to her, to talk to Liz is her name.
Did you have to make a choice in how you were going to approach her? I mean, did you feel like you had other options besides coming to her in a very conciliatory fashion?
Yeah, I used to live in New York City, so I would say I have a little bit of that blood in me of it totally being okay to confront somebody and kind of go to bat of just like, if you're yelling at me, like I can stand my ground. I don't necessarily think I'll have to yell at you, but I can stand my ground and be very, strong in that situation. And so I think I could have been like, well, I didn't see you, you know, in my blind spot. You're in my blind spot. You know, I could have easily retaliated and shared that. But I just felt like that feeling that I had that God had said I'd crashed you into this person's life gave me a sense of peace and a sense of maybe there's more going on in this picture. And I just, as I was stepping out of the car, I had this thought of maybe there's something else going on in her life that is really difficult right now. And this just made it that much harder. So then as I got out, I remember taking a deep breath and just thinking like, you know, like I am clearly in the wrong here. Like, how can I focus on helping her calm down and like help her, like maybe there is stuff going on outside that I don't see. And so maybe I can be more empathetic. So it was so fast and there were so many different things happening that I would say those are kind of my things that I can think of.
And then the hug. What? Right. Are you one of these people that's like, hugs
I'm
a lot?
Not a hugger. No, no, not at all. Kind of right before the hug, I was kind of able to ask, like, are you okay? And she talked about how she had actually gotten in a crash like a couple weeks ago and that like she had lost some family members and she like kind of had shared a little snippet of like kind of in anger as she was expressing, you know, like her frustration of this experience. She was kind of opening up a couple things that had also been going on in her life. And I just remember just saying like, it sounds like you could use a hug. And so it sounds more unnatural to just be like, I gave this stranger a hug. But I just remember like by her briefly opening up, it sounded like that curious thought that I have, maybe there's something more going on. And then hearing that snippet kind of confirmed, yes, there is other things going on in her life. That just was the only thing that came to mind and that made sense of, you know, I don't think there's anything I can say right now that will help, but there might be a little bit of human connection that kind of brings a little bit more human peace and connection and love into it. And so, yeah, that's kind of what brought it to that point.
Well, Becca, I'm just in awe that you were able to pull that off. and I'm dying to know how it ended. What happened?
Yeah. So, I mean, the honking helped us clear to get to a safer spot. So we were right near a hotel parking lot. So we moved our cars safely to that parking lot. And we just wanted to make sure that everything was totally safe and totally fine. So we in the local area just have road rangers come and just make sure that, you know, you're all clear to go. And so in that time, I think it ended up being like almost 4 hours. Like we talked about where she worked. I love where she worked. So it was really easy. We were able to kind of just find commonalities and we actually were similar ages, which really helps. We realized like she moved here and didn't really have a lot of friends. I moved there, didn't really have a lot of friends. So maybe we could become friends. So we started with social media. We didn't like give each other our phone numbers yet, but we started with social media where she started following me and I started following her. So how we actually became better friends was I, shortly after that, came across this guy named Judd Jung who does rejection therapy. And when I came across him, I was like, I need to do this. This is a great way for me to build confidence. So
rejection therapy is where like you do the thing you're afraid of.
Yes, thank you.
And he was afraid of rejection. So he like, didn't he even write a book about, you know, 100 rejections or like get one rejection a day or something? He was like intentionally trying to get rejected by doing outlandish
things. Yes, and like silly
things
too. Like intentionally, like people would for sure say no. And so I was like, I don't know if I'm like at the point of intentionally doing things that people will just say no to. I think I just need to like say hi to people. You know, like I'm kind of bottom level, do scary things, do things that are probably not even difficult for most of the population. And so I decided to do 100 days out of my comfort zone. And I started doing these challenges, and it was like only a couple of days in, she just messaged me out of the blue, Liz, saying, "Hey, I really love these challenges that you're doing. I've been following along. I'd love to join you sometime." And I was like, "That's so cool. I think it'd be a challenge if we met up and became friends." And she's like, "I think that's a great challenge." So we decided to meet up, and then we had a blast and connected, and we're still friends. She came over a couple weeks ago and did a girls' night, a painting night, and we were texting the other day. So yeah, we are actual friends now. And yeah, Liz and I are constantly talking.
I love that in some ways that was part of the germ that became this Becoming Undaunted mission that you went on, this platform. So do you think that having done that really uncomfortable, scary thing, that in some ways that gave you a little bit of confidence to be like, okay, well, maybe I could do something else. And then I could, like, you were maybe a little more open to ultimately would become your big quest.
Yeah.
Because you had sort of unwittingly launched yourself into this uncomfortable moment on the side of the road.
Oh, 100%. I think like the feeling when I put myself in that experience, I can just jump right back to the fast heart rate, you know, the heavy breathing, the shakiness, and just kind of like the facepalm moment that I had. And when I look at each of the times that I've gotten ready to take another challenge, I feel that exact same way before I go ahead and do it. And so I felt like it was this preparatory feeling that when I was getting ready to do the challenges, it was that feeling of, I felt this before, like I've done this before and I've been okay. I was okay then. I know I can do this. And so I really do think it was pivotal and fundamental for me.
Would you tell me just a little bit about, like, what are some other challenges that you've done in the 100 days out of your comfort zone, this Becoming Undaunted challenge that you're now inviting other people to join you on, right?
Yeah. So I'm a shower singer. I don't sing at all. So I got on a live stage with a live band, and it was like just me and my voice singing, and it was like had lights flashing everywhere. Oh, that was so scary. And I went into a really public place and just started a dance party when nobody was dancing. And then eventually by the end, people started to dance. I got flowers and took them to a cemetery in hopes to just find a family maybe visiting, you know, a loved one who had passed on that they were, you know, maybe going to visit on like an anniversary or something. But it ended up being immediately after somebody had just buried their spouse and everybody had left and they were just standing there just thinking, well, now what? Mm-hmm. And I just remember hugging, you know, and just crying with this stranger in that moment. And I've been able to take my kids, and we saw a homeless man on the side of the street, and we decided, why don't we go home and make lunch for him and become his friend? So now Dwayne, he's our friend that we get to wave and drive by and say hi to every day. He lives just a block down from our house. I've been able to try new things that I did a lightsaber course and just things that, yeah, all sorts of things that from the hard and the deep to silly and, you know, learning just how to skateboard and just simple things.
And besides learning that you can do it, that you can do hard things, uncomfortable things, what else have you learned or gained as a result of all of that discomfort?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I've learned the most is that human connection is really what brings so much confidence and a lot of peace in our life. I think a lot of times it can be really easy. You know, I struggle with a lot of anxiety, and there's been seasons of, you know, depression and different mental health struggles. And I'm a mom of young kids. And sometimes it can feel really isolating in your life when you go through hard things. But I've realized most of these challenges, I've been afraid of other people or afraid of what people think of me. A lot of the fears are based around other people. And I've realized after every time that I've connected, I've walked away feeling like both of us leave happier and both of us feel more uplifted and ready to go on with the day with a smile. And so I've learned the value of human connection and the depth that it actually really does and the impact it has on my life.
Becca Obeng is the creator of Becoming Undaunted. It's a project documenting her 100-day journey of doing one uncomfortable thing every day. And now she's encouraging other people to try something similar. You can follow her story and get involved on Instagram at Becoming Undaunted. Becca, thank you so much for sharing your stories with us today.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for getting uncomfy with us today. I'd love to hear about a stick with it moment you've had recently. You can email me at uncomfy@byu.edu or find us on social media like Becca did. Something that Becca mentioned I've been thinking about and want to highlight. She said that before she could get out of the car and engage in this lean into the discomfort and even offer to give a hug to this woman who was really angry at her, she first needed to feel safe. She needed to know that her kids were safe, that her mother-in-law was safe, that no serious damage had been done to the cars, that the other person was safe, right? Like, safety is actually important. Not every uncomfortable moment is appropriate to turn into a stick with it moment. But I do think that we are safer than we think in a lot of instances. So it's important to kind of assess in the moment, am I safe? Is this safe? And also to differentiate between when we're feeling just like a big threat response because we really disagree or because this is out of our comfort zone, and when we are actually feeling a threat response because we are unsafe. That's something that I've been working on recently. And by the way, if you're interested in some practice feeling a little uncomfortable with ideas that challenge you, I'd love to have you check out my other podcast. It's called Top of Mind. We, every episode, are intentionally tackling tough topics, and we do it in a way that will challenge you, but also help you feel more empathy. So it is a great way to practice the skills that go into an uncomfy moment. I'd love to have you add Top of Mind to your podcast queue. You can find it on all the apps. Uncomfy is a BYU radio podcast. Samuel Benson produces it, and the team includes Enrique Prado, James Hoops, Sam Payne, and Brandon Lewis. Our theme music was composed by Kelsey Ney. I'm Julie Rose. Can't wait to get uncomfy with you again next week. Hey friends, it's Julie. I want to tell you about another show I'm really enjoying right now. It's called Kaboom. It's an audio adventure podcast, also from BYU Radio, and it is for the whole family to enjoy together. Every episode features a new adventure with sound effects and professional voice actors. Whether it's a teleportation experiment gone wrong, or an ancient Viking curse wreaking havoc on the high school football team, or a baby dragon hiding in the attic, Kaboom is such a fun listen. It is perfect for chore time, road trips, maybe even bedtime if it doesn't get your kids too amped up. And the best part is that every episode includes some subtle life lessons, insights that you can discuss with your kids. So subscribe to Kaboom on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.